Welcome to episode 51 of the Holly Springs Deep Dive Podcast. Today's episode fits in the category of talented, knowledgeable, insightful people in our town who are ready to be resources for us all. Holly Springs really is a community of helpers. Her name is Tanya Tavalowski from Nourish Nutrition, and we talked about how to actually achieve the nutrition goals so many of us set every January that a lot of us have already given up on, not even 3 weeks into the new year. Before we get going, please bear in mind that today's content is in no way intended to be a substitute for medical advice from a physician or other healthcare professional. Before you make any big changes, always discuss your plans with your medical provider for advice. If you're enjoying this podcast, consider becoming a supporter by clicking on the Patreon link on my website at hollyspringsdeepdive.com. This podcast is free to listen to, but it's not free to make. Okay. Ready to talk about how to actually achieve your nutrition goals this year? Let's dive in. I have the pleasure of chatting with Tanya Tavalowski today. Tanya is a certified nutrition coach here in Holly Springs, and we're going to talk about something people always seem to have on their minds in January, and that's trying to eat healthier. Welcome, Tanya.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate getting the access to your expertise. I'm just going to cut right to the chase. Why do we do this to ourselves?
It is such a common thing that we start off January in this mindset of everything's going to be different this year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to change all the things. I think a lot of that comes from the diet culture that is pervasive in our society today.
I hear about diet culture on TikTok all the time. I've kind of ended up in some kind of nutrition TikTok zone. So I hear a lot about that. Mm-hmm. But there are so many different diets and ways of eating. I mean, I'm very familiar with keto because I did that a couple of years ago. I ate that way for about 2 years. I lost a bunch of weight, like 55 pounds. But it was, you know, it's hard to do. But I mean, when you see the results, it's kind of easier. You know, it's like, well, at least I'm getting the positive result of this, of all of this trouble.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that turns out to be difficult is a lot of these diets these days are not sustainable long term. Mm-hmm. First of all, we have so many diets to choose from, and paleo,
intermittent fasting. So paleo, you can't have grains.
You can't have grains.
Okay, and intermittent fasting, you can't eat very many hours of the day.
Yes. And then you have plant-based, which is no animal products. And, mm-hmm. You know, pescatarian, where there's mm-hmm. no meat, but you can still have fish. That there is deprivation in every single one of these diets. They're looking at cutting out some source of food. I think the difficult thing is when you have deprivation, is it makes it really difficult, because what's the one thing we always want is the thing we can't have.
Yep.
Right. And yep. It's they're fine short-term solutions, and there are positive aspects to a lot of these diets. However, they create this vision of you're either on a diet or you're off a diet. You're either succeeding at a diet or you're failing at a diet. I mean, I know many, many people who get into that mindset of they're doing really good, and then one day they have a bad day. Maybe, you know, their kids' soccer practice ran late. They're all hungry, and they're, you know, you can't even think about what you're going to make for dinner, and it's so late, and you just hit the drive-thru and you think, well, failed another diet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to forgive yourself and, you know, just say, well, I didn't do great today, but I can start doing great again tomorrow.
Exactly. And the problem with a lot of these diets is it does have that all or nothing mindset around
keto
it.
Keto is
absolutely all or nothing. Mm-hmm. Because if you kind of mess up and eat more than 20 grams of carbs in a day, you could kick yourself out of the, like, the fat burning mode, mm-hmm. ketosis, and it could take you days to get back into mm-hmm. it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, if you have a really cruddy day and you're an emotional eater and you're like, you know what's going to fix this is a sleeve of Oreos. You know, you can, right? you can, you know.
And those Oreos, once you start, it's hard to stop.
It is. But if you do that kind of thing, you just, you know, once you stop and figure out that didn't help my problem, so I probably shouldn't have done that. But the next day, you can just start over again. You don't have to say, well, I can never do this and, you know, get into this shame spiral.
Exactly. And the shame spiral is huge in diet cultures. And I think that's why many diets actually create this perception of they create guilt around these things. You're either, you know, when you're doing great, you know, you're in that, you have this camaraderie of people who might be doing a similar diet, you all feel like you're succeeding. But then you know, let's be honest, food does not make you feel, you know, sad or happy. It feeds those feelings sometimes, because that's what we've learned as a culture, which is a whole nother story. but you know, there's not, eating some Oreos doesn't suddenly make you a bad person, and that's what we have to break the cycle of. Is food is food. It is nothing more. It gives our body, you know, nutrients and information. Sometimes it doesn't give our body that, but it feeds other things that we need at the time. And so it's really kind of learning how to work around these parameters. And if you ate that sleeve of Oreos, you can sit back and look and say, oh, you know what? It was a really bad day. I was stressed out. And how can I do better next time? And it's mm-hmm. really just, you know, getting the lessons out of that sleeve of Oreos.
And there are so many lessons in that sleeve of Oreos.
There really is. And if you take the time to look at it, you know, and understand that, you know, I was stressed out, I was hungry, my best friend was not around for me to be able to talk to. And so I went in the pantry and grabbed the Oreos and I just kept eating. What can I do better next time? How can I look at this? Maybe I can call another friend. Maybe mm-hmm. I can sit down and write why I'm stressed out. Maybe I can still have some Oreos, but only take a few out of the package, put the package away, and then decide that I'm only going to have those few that I've pulled out that first time.
Those are good ideas. The thing that I hear that we're supposed to do, and I want to get your opinion on this, mm-hmm. It's a kind of a little buzzword. I guess it's a buzz phrase. Intuitive eating.
Yes.
What is it?
Sure. So if we look at intuitive eating as another diet, let's say, it really has, there's a lot of sense to it. It makes a lot of sense in that you're supposed to listen to your body and what it needs. And you're supposed to also pay attention to how things make you feel. So when you eat the mashed potatoes, how do you feel when you eat it afterwards? You know, does it make you feel run down and tired? Does it give you the energy you need to get through your afternoon run? The problem really becomes with intuitive eating is that we have been taught for many, many years to ignore how our body feels regarding food. We have been taught, let's say when you're young and you go to the doctor and, you know, you do a good job when you get your shot and you didn't cry, so you get a lollipop, or you go to the soccer game and you win the game, so you get some ice cream, you lose the game, so you get some ice cream. So you're taught that food is related to emotions or feelings, And so to jump into intuitive eating can be a very difficult task when you have spent, you know, however many years doing the complete opposite. So to go into intuitive eating, I do suggest finding a coach who is trained in that, if that's the route you really want to go, so they can help guide you.
I would imagine that trying to figure that out, if I were to try to figure out if mashed potatoes mm-hmm. gave the energy I wanted, mm-hmm. I would have to eat just mashed potatoes, because what if I had, you know, meatloaf and mashed potatoes or something?
And
how would I know that it was, you know, not the meatloaf that didn't, you know, do whatever I wanted it to do?
Well, that's it. And a lot of times, you know, we have to break those things down, right? So one day you might have meatloaf and mashed potatoes and you might feel run down. And the next time you might have mashed potatoes, let's say with something lighter, you know, like a chicken dish, and you might say, okay, you know, I don't feel as run down. Maybe it was the beef that was running, you know, making mm-hmm. me feel that way, making me feel like weighed down and heavy and tired. You might find that, you know, it's actually the mashed potatoes, because you still feel run down whether you have the chicken. So it's definitely a learning process. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to see both how you feel physically, how you feel mentally. You know, food has such an effect not only on our physical health, but on our mental health. You know, it really plays such a huge part in so many processes.
I would almost think that eating intuitively, you could talk yourself into a lot of crazy stuff. Like I could say, you know, Tanya, my body is telling me that I need some cream cheese frosting. Mm-hmm. And you would just be like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to eat it.
Well, you know? And that's it. And that would be we would really have to learn to disconnect the emotional eating from the physical eating. And that is one of the most difficult things people have. I mean, we all struggle with that. I still struggle with that. You know, I have those days where, you know, just don't bother me. I'm going to have my little piece of chocolate here and mm-hmm. just let myself, you know, grumble about whatever bad thing happened throughout the day. And that's okay to be there as long as you can recognize it. But you know, mm-hmm. so many people have eaten emotionally for so long that, you know, it's easy to overlook the connection.
Mm-hmm. I definitely see that. I'm an emotional eater myself, so.
And I was a boredom eater for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'd get bored, so I'd go see what was in the pantry, because it's changed, must have changed from like 5 minutes ago when I was peeking in the pantry when I was.
Well, and you were probably the one to buy all of the things that are in there, so it's not like some stuff magically appeared
no.
that you didn't bring in yourself.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that fourth time of opening the pantry, there's got to be something new.
One of these days, it's going to happen. I swear. Okay. So we've talked about some of the pitfalls mm-hmm. Of some of the things that people run to make a fast change. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we've talked about kind of what not to do mm-hmm. As a general rule. What
and not so much what not to do, but I would say a little bit more of why these things don't work for us.
Okay, like long term, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, keto worked for me. It
yes.
100% worked, but it's hard. It's
yes.
really hard. And
I
some
would
people
agree.
Do it for the rest of their lives and are happy and healthy and skinny and have energy the rest of their lives. And some people like me, I cried one day at McAllister's because I was so embarrassed. I cried because the thing that I went there to order, I had looked online and I found out like the one thing that you could eat at McAllister's mm-hmm. Following a keto way of eating, and it was no longer on the menu.
Oh.
And I just was like, what do I do? And I was so embarrassed. My kids were there. My husband was
Aww.
Looking at me like, you poor thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm naturally skinny, honey, but whatever. But, you know, and I'm not, but both of my kids and my husband are. So that made it harder. And there was all of this emotion tied to it. Anyway, I I have gone off on a tangent.
But no, but that's exactly what happens to so many people when they get on these diets. And that's why it becomes so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, try limiting yourself to 20 grams of carbs a day.
Especially if you love those carbs.
I did that for 2 years. And try walking through the freezer section of a everyday grocery store. Mm-hmm. There is, I mean, nothing that looks really good fits that.
Well, and I think especially, you know, because you were probably, I'm gonna take a wild guess here, that you were probably in the same situation that a lot of women are in that you were doing keto. Your family was not doing keto. So mm-hmm. you were still buying all the carbs for the naturally thin husband and kids. And mm-hmm. you were sitting there watching them eat the carbs and you mm-hmm. had, you know, and you were having your other piece of bacon and avocado.
Yeah.
And that just makes it that much harder because then, not that they don't support you, but there is that disconnect. And, you know, food is one of those things that it's so much more than mm-hmm. what we make it, right? Food is our culture. Food is our connection. When we go out with friends, what do we want to do? Well, back when we used to be able to go out with friends,
We
want to go out and we want to have dinner. We want to go have, coffee and a croissant, yeah. you know, or a mm-hmm. beer. It's around food and there's so much connection to it. You know, it's our heritage. You know, I grew up, you know, people think I'm crazy. I love myself a good bowl of borscht in the wintertime. You know, it's bright red. And, you know, my husband, the first time he saw it, swore there were octopus tentacles in there. It was just the way the cabbage was cut. You know, there's connections to our past in there, to our family. You know, we have memories that are tied to food. So there's so many things. So it's not just an easy thing to switch on and off or say, mm-hmm. I'm never going to have, you know, chocolate cake again, even though it's my birthday or my kid's birthday or my husband's birthday. That's just, it makes it so difficult.
Mm-hmm. I think you're onto something with that because like celebrations mm-hmm. always have food, you know, there's a birthday cake or, yeah. you know, whatever, and going out with friends and reconnecting with family at Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's yes. all food oriented. You don't, yes. I mean, I have a friend who loves to walk and she will say, Karen, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, what? What is wrong with you? No, I want to eat. Come on, lady. So what do? This can't be our only choice.
Well, that's it. And it really doesn't have to be. But I think so many people and, you know, we have a society right now that is all about instant gratification. I mean, look, we have 2-day shipping with Prime, which is now what, like they even talk about 1-day shipping for certain items. We have instant movies on Netflix. You know, we hop on to YouTube and can get the answer to anything at the, you know, at the type of a Google search. So, mm-hmm. You know, we really have to stop and remember that this will not be an instant gratification kind of thing. And it really can be just small little changes that we learn to make that can build upon each other and have a compound effect. You know, I was talking to you earlier about this little thing I heard about, and it was a little story of, you know, a person saying, you know, do you want $3 million now or do you want a penny that doubles every day for 31 days? And your instinct says you want the $3 million now. I mean, come on, $3 million. There's mm-hmm. no way a penny will compound and, you know, just by doubling for 31 days. But then when you get down to it on day 31, you actually end up with over $10 million. And it's
Tanya,
that
I'm going to be honest. I thought you were full of borscht. I'll say borscht because I was like, whatever. And I looked it up. And sure enough, by day 31, if you start off on day one with one penny, on day two, you get 2 cents, then 4 cents, then 8 cents. By day 31, you have like $10.7 million.
Well, and it's funny too, because you don't see the buildup in the beginning. And it's the same thing when you're making small changes. Mm-hmm. When I talk to any kind of coaching clients, I call it the little bit better or the 1% better. You don't see it building so much, but it compounds and it keeps growing. And, you know, even on day, I think I was telling you on day, 16, day 20, you're still kind of doubting yourself. There's no way this is going to, I should have taken the $3 million. But, it really does. These little habit changes that you can make and these little lessons and these tiny little improvements can compound upon one another and end up making some really big changes in your life. And it doesn't have to feel like you're depriving yourself. It doesn't have to feel like it's an all or nothing kind of thing. And you can still go out and enjoy these celebrations and say, okay, well, today is my husband's birthday. I'm going to enjoy that piece of cake and, get right back on the horse tomorrow. And there's no problem. You don't feel like you've just failed because you had that piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what are some examples of some small changes? Because a small change for one person could be, no big deal to somebody else, or it could be a huge deal.
Exactly.
What are some examples?
Yeah. And that's the big thing. So every single person, what may be a small change for you might be a big change for someone else. So it's very individualized. I have clients who, they just, they'll grab a Pop-Tart on their way out the door for breakfast. So, a small change they can make is to get up 5 minutes earlier and, grab something that might just be a little bit better. They might have instant oatmeal instead. And, still may not be where they want to be for breakfast and having, the protein in their breakfast or anything like that. But it's
better than a Pop-Tart.
But it's better than a Pop-Tart. It's not that, straight on sugar, that's going to make you crash at 10 o'clock and want that another, cup of coffee or that donut at the, in the break room. So they might find 2 weeks in that, getting up 5 minutes earlier wasn't that difficult. So if I get up, five more minutes earlier, I can scramble myself 2 eggs real quick, or I can.
Or even make steel cut oats and sweeten it with strawberries
instead of the sugar. Yeah exactly. Mm-hmm. For someone else, breakfast might be an easy thing for them and they don't need to make changes there. But, they might have a more difficult time with getting their vegetables in. So, they might work at how they can start incorporating more vegetables into their diet by, maybe buying one new vegetable each week and trying something new, or, chopping up some cucumbers and carrots and putting them in little baggies. So if they want a snack, they have the choice of grabbing a vegetable along with maybe some crackers or some hummus or, whatever they might typically grab.
Mm-hmm. Some friends of mine, they swear by getting those produce boxes. And it's because it makes them kind of have to be a little bit more adventurous in what they eat, because they will get something and it's like, I don't know what this is, and they have to figure it out and then figure out what to do with it. But they still eat it, and it's not something they would buy if they saw it in the store.
That's a great way to, try new things to find new ways of making something you might have all of the time. Oh, look, I got, a ton of eggplant in here. You know, let's, what can we do with that this week? You know, how can we try something new with it? You know, that they have so many options now between produce boxes, you know, the meal plan kits.
I've been so tempted by some of those meal plan kits.
I have myself. Yes.
It's more wholesome than, you know, what I would normally make, because they, you know, inevitably send you a bunch of chopped up vegetables and, you know, meat and, you know, spices and whatever. And, you know, there's not a box or an instant anything or a pre-made, you know, sugary sauce or anything like that.
So, and it gives you an opportunity to try new things or to try something you've had so many times, but in a new way. And sometimes that's all we need, because it's easy to get bored with, come on, no one wants to sit there and go get, you know, a meal plan from that, you know, ex famous Instagram fitness professional, and all it is, you know, brown rice and broccoli and grilled chicken and brown rice and broccoli and grilled chicken. And oh, look, we're getting asparagus today instead of broccoli, you know. That gets so boring, you know. But and so it doesn't have to be that way, it doesn't have to be so limiting. You know, and a lot of these meal plans now, they offer things, you know, to allow you to try new things. And there's so many options now, because meal planning really can be such a big help if you're trying to eat healthier. But it can be such an overwhelming process if you're not used to doing it. And so those kits can, you know, take some of the burden off.
And some of the stuff sounds so good.
I know. And it looks so delicious.
It does. It really does.
And they even have, I have a friend who just started trying a new app. I forget what it was called, but they can go through and sort through dishes that they have on the app, and they can choose. So, you know, if she's doing low carb, she can look strictly in the low carb section and pick out dishes. And instead of it being a meal kit, what it does is it populates your grocery list and sends it to the grocery store.
Yes. And I can't remember what it's called either.
Yes. She loves it. I'm tempted to look into it to learn more about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it would accommodate like any eating style. And it was, they had a list of things that I had never even heard of.
And it's great because a lot of the delivery services work with, you know, those programs. And so you can have the food delivered right to your door. So,
I was gonna say they have an interface with Instacart and you don't even have to, anything can be a meal kit.
That's
if you
it.
Just have Instacart. this episode is not sponsored by Instacart in any way. But God, I don't use it, but the people who I know who do,
I
love
know.
It.
I really, you know, you would think with, you know, my household of seven that I would really learn to use that kind of stuff. I really think I need to kind of get into that, but I haven't gone down that road just yet.
Well, in all honesty, it makes me feel a little better that you don't have it all together, because that gives me hope. It gives me hope.
Well, and I think that's, you know, that's the big thing. One of my big things is I never want to portray myself as that like perfect eater, that perfect person. I'm a human being. Listen, we all have our, you know, moments and everything like that. And, you know, we all have our areas where we struggle. And, you know, that's one great thing about working with a coach, whether it is a nutrition coach or, you know, a business coach, if you're running a business, you know, they can kind of help guide you and remind you of why you're doing things. They can help you figure out exactly what will work best for you. You know, a lot of times I hear, well, I know what I need to do. And, you know, the problem is we all kind of know what we need to do, but we don't know how to implement it.
And I guess back to your idea and suggestion of small changes, you can't really even say what small changes to do, because it's completely subjective and individualized.
It
you know,
is.
Like you said, if you eat a Pop-Tart every day, you know, switch to that, but there are, you know, to the instant oatmeal. Mm-hmm. But you know, what if you, don't have something as bad as a Pop-Tart? But
yeah.
I'll tell you, I do love a Pop-Tart and they're okay. And pro tip, I want you to cover up your ears, Tanya. If you toast a fruity Pop-Tart and put butter on it,
oh my God,
it's like the best thing ever. But anyway, I think you have a new insight into why I have put on a few pounds over the pandemic.
Well, I think a lot of people have. Let's be honest. Yeah. We are in such a stressful situation. You know, whether you know you're working from home or working outside of the house, whether you've got kids in the school system who are doing this virtual schooling or not, you know, when our entire way of how we do things is upended, there is a bit of stress that comes along with it. And that goes right back to, you know, when we're eating our, whether we're eating our feelings or we're eating out of boredom, we're stuck in the house. Mm-hmm. We're doing things that we are not necessarily used to doing. So I think there's a lot of people who have put on a couple of extra quarantine pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, even if you feel like you do a pretty good job with vegetables, maybe you know, a small change that person could make would be, okay, instead of a starchy vegetable, switch to asparagus or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, things that come up in nutrition aren't necessarily habits that revolve around nutrition. They might very well be, you know, I don't sleep well. Well, believe it or not, that affects how you eat. You know, when mm-hmm. you don't sleep well, you tend to go for those simple carbs. You know, your body wants that energy. It wants it quick. And so I know from, you know, from fact, you know, I had my fourth child did not sleep the first 3 years of her life. And whew, man, that sugar was my friend in those years. Sugar and caffeine kept me going. You know, I was the mom zombie, you know, like just trying to make it through the next day. And, you know, so there's a lot of that, you know, wraps around our nutritional choices and everything. But, you know, when you start looking at what habits you need to make, you know, I can work with, you know, teaching people how to choose what I call action triggers mm-hmm. to help improve or help work in those habits that they want to improve upon. So if, you know, you tend to not drink enough water and you want to start increasing your water intake, you can have something, you know, after my breakfast, I will fill up my water bottle. So that's an action trigger. You tie it to something you already do. You know, you might tweak your environment. You might leave your water bottle instead of tucking it in the cabinet. You might leave it right out on your counter so you remember to fill it, you know, and it's all very individualized and learning how to work with what your needs are and to build upon those needs so you can get what works best for you.
And I've found with habits, if you are trying to break a habit, I've had the best luck if I replace it with something else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, let's say I ate ice cream every single night after dinner, if I switch that, if I tried to just stop, it would be really hard. Mm-hmm. But if I switched away from ice cream and ate like an apple with some almond butter on it, mm-hmm. that would be a change. You would still be eating something kind of sweet after dinner, mm-hmm. but it would be so much better than just ice cream.
And it could be something, you know, you might tweak your environment where you leave the, you know, a bowl of apples out on the counter and you don't keep the ice cream in the freezer. You might, you know, have the garage freezer where you'd have to walk out to the garage to grab the ice cream. So little tweaks to the environment that can be done to not necessarily you know, stop you from doing it, but make you think a little bit. You know, you start walking out to the garage going, do I really want this ice cream? And if you do, there's nothing wrong with that. Have this small little bowl of ice cream, but mm-hmm. stop and think of why you're actually having it. Are you just having it because it's a habit? or are you having it because you really want to enjoy the sweet creaminess of some mm-hmm. really good ice cream?
This is kind of like the food version of that old advice from, God, probably 20 years ago, where they said to, if you were trying to get out of debt, freeze your credit card into a giant block of ice.
Yes.
If you're tempted to buy something, you have to thaw it out. Mm-hmm. And by the time it's thawed, if you still need or want the item, get it. Mm-hmm. But you usually don't.
Well, and that's it. It's really about being mindful when you eat. There's nothing wrong with having something really decadent and enjoyable. You know, you can, you know, listen, there's a little sweet treat place in the area, and they're all gluten-free.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're talking about. It's Joanna. It's Fairwinds.
Yes. Oh, man. She is there.
She's no joke.
And every once in a while, I want a sweet treat, and I want something, but I'm going to make sure it's something that I absolutely will enjoy.
And you're going to take the time to enjoy it. You're not going to wolf it down.
I'm going to stop, and I'm going to really savor it. I'm going to enjoy the texture, the taste, the sweetness, how she mixes the cocoa with the sugar to just this right ratio. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be mindful and make sure you really want it. You know, don't be grabbing the, you know, Hershey chocolate bar, take two bites and go, oh, why am I even eating this? And then keep eating it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to really think about what you're doing. And if you take those two bites and you say, why am I eating this? Stop and put it down and go, you know what? I'm not going to have any more because I'm not enjoying it. So why am I going to keep having it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a big one to break. If you can hit that moment, oh man, then the ball is rolling. I'll tell you what.
Okay. Well, Tanya, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to lie. I feel a little bit empowered by the things you've told me today.
Yay. That makes me so happy.
I don't know what small change I'll make, but I'm going to think about it.
Think about it and then see what you can do, how you can work that new habit in.
Yeah. And maybe I can drop the COVID-19 that I don't know if it's 19, but it's I've put on.
And if you figure out a habit that you want to change and you need some help figuring out how you can add that change in, just give me a holler.
Okay. I'm definitely going to put your contact information for your business in the show notes. What is the name of your company?
So, my coaching company is called Nourish Nutrition. Mm-hmm. And, you can find me mostly on Facebook. I am not really good at social media, but I am trying to get better at it. But
small changes, Tanya.
Small changes. That's right. That's right. Take my own advice. And, they can always reach out to me through email as well if they want to get in touch, or, you know, check out my website, which is Coach Tanya T. That's T-A-N-I-A-T.
Mm-hmm. I will make sure to put a link in there.
And that's a great way to reach me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sitting down with me today. I feel enriched and informed, and I think you did a really good job.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to sharing the knowledge. I can't wait till it comes out.
I know. Just think of how much healthier you've made the listeners to this podcast.
Oh, I hope so. You know, if they take away nothing else, I hope they recognize that it doesn't have to be an all or nothing process.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
It is. It feels like it's all or nothing sometimes.
It does.
But it's
it
really
does.
Not. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for talking to me today.
Thanks, Karen. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Links of interest from this interview are in today's show notes, including the 1 cent to $10 million in a 31 days demonstration. I definitely had to see it to believe it. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by me, Karen Shore, with music by Doug Maxwell and Meteorite Productions. Be well, friends. Until next time.